Good morning. Scripture for this morning will be Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live any longer in it? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, that in order, just as Christ was raised from dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free.
Appreciate the scripture reading, Philip. And Heath, it's been is great. I don't know where he went. But Heath, it's been great having the new... Oh, there you are. Love having a new song leader. It's been a great worship this morning. One of my greatest privileges as a minister, some of the sweetest moments I have are when a friend or a student or a kid in the church decides they want to get baptized, and we gather together and we study and we talk about the meaning of baptism. And we'll usually get, I'll get an older youth group kid or a parent, and we'll sit down and we'll just talk about, we'll study some scripture. We'll talk about the meaning of baptism, and I'll have other people, the parent or a friend, talk about what I mentioned in communion. They'll talk about why they decided to get baptized, what it meant to them, how things changed, how things were different after their baptism, and it's always just such a really sweet, fun, encouraging moment. I love that. And whenever we do that, Romans 6 is the starting place. Anytime we're going to talk about baptism, that's the first place I go. Now, don't worry. We usually get to Acts 2:38. I know how some of us old school guys, that's the important verse on baptism, and it is. I love that verse, and we get there. I think a great starting place is Romans 6, because it really shows what happens when we're baptized. Now, a little fuller context on this. Paul is addressing this idea that comes up that a lot might conclude when they realize their sins are freely forgiven, which is, well, if I'm forgiven, then I guess I can sin all I want. I guess that's a license to sin. I'm going to go like rob a bank. I'm going to do whatever I want now because I'm forgiven. And Paul's saying, whoa. Slow down. Life in Christ is not about a license to sin. You can't just go on sinning so that grace may increase. He says, when you were baptized, he presupposes that the church he is writing to is a group of baptized believers. If you are in Christ, you have been baptized. Your sins have been forgiven. You were made new. He's saying, when you were baptized, you died to self. You died to sin. When you were baptized, you put that way of thinking behind you. You're a new creation. You don't think in those terms anymore. So I have this nice, kind of old school Church of Christ picture that really brings this text to life. Romans 6, I think, is really it's a beautiful example of how our baptism is connected with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And someone, anytime I look up, like try to find this picture, this one always comes up. And it's just gotta be from one of those like old school Church of Christ pamphlets that they have like in the hallways that you can grab, probably titled like "Who Are the Churches of Christ?" And you got this picture in there. And look, you can see like this old school preacher there baptizing a guy, fully clothed, no waiters, just get in the water wet clothes. But, you know, this is probably like from the 50s or 60s, right? This is like an old probably picture from a 50s or 60s pamphlet. Old school Church of Christ preacher there. If you look close, I think that might be Mickey Walker. but it says obeying the gospel there. Have y'all heard that term? Obey the gospel? Again, that's a more like the Church of Christ OGs. That's terminology they use. In the first church I worked with, one of the elders would always say, well, we want these kids to obey the gospel. Have you obeyed the gospel yet? You heard this term? It's not a term you hear a lot. It was used back when pamphlets like this were made. But I like that terminology, part of it. Part of what they mean when they say, have you obeyed the gospel, is they mean, have you been baptized? Have you given your life to Christ? And there's some reactions I have to that obey. And it is the phrase obey the gospel is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. It is a biblical term. But underneath that idea is something pretty powerful, obey the gospel. It's this idea that the gospel, the good news, the story of Christ's loving sacrifice for you, his undying forgiveness, his conquering death, his valuing of all people is such good news that it demands a response. So it's saying, have you responded to the story of Christ Jesus and what he's done for all mankind? It demands a response. How can you hear of who God is and what he has done and not respond in some way? When you're offered salvation, you take it. And there is a part of me that sometimes doesn't like the word obedience, and maybe that's some of my own rebellious nature in myself. But it also, sometimes obedience, the word makes it sound like maybe it's a work, and that's something maybe you've heard. Well, baptism is a work, and usually our response is, well, it's just a way to, you're receiving grace. You're not doing anything. But baptism is the way you receive, you identify with Christ's sacrifice. It's the way you receive it. But it's also fair, the term obedience, because to not respond to this kind of love, it almost just feels wrong. It almost just feels wrong. You can't hear the story of someone giving their life for you while you are still a sinner and just say, well, what's for lunch? Now, there's an obedient response to that. It demands. If you hear and believe that Christ died for you while you were still a sinner, that is something that demands a response of love, of commitment, of gratitude, and of trust. And that's what you're doing when you're baptized. You're making that commitment. You are giving everything, all you are, to God. So being baptized starts with us hearing the story of a loving God and hearing that story in the light of our own brokenness. My being baptized is an obedience to the gospel story. But it's not just like this rule I have to follow because I'm afraid of punishment. It is also a free decision. And that's sometimes why I don't like the word obedience. It makes it sound like have to, which, yeah, have to. But also, it is my own decision. It is a decision based on hearing who God is. My family didn't pressure me to do it. My minister didn't scare me into it. My parents didn't make that decision for me when I was a baby. This is my choice because I know what Jesus did, and I want to follow him. That's what baptism is about. We don't baptize babies here because we believe it needs to be our own free will decision, nor do we see a clear example of that in Scripture. So because of that, we really don't want to pressure people to be baptized. We've really made it about it being your decision. The same elder friend that I had that would use the term obey the gospel, he also one time said, and I get where he's getting at with this, he said, sometimes when someone says they want to get baptized, you almost want to talk them out of it. Now, that's not really the goal, but you do want to see, you want to make sure I'm not pressuring you, and you want to make sure this is your decision. This isn't something you're just doing to please grandma or anything like that. You want to make sure they know what they're getting into. But Romans 6 here, it really unpacks what the response to the gospel looks like. Like Christ died on the cross, you die to yourself. You repent, which does mean saying sorry. It does mean admitting wrong. It does mean acknowledging sin. But understanding the weight of that so much that you are ready to be different. You are ready to do things differently. You're going to do a 180. You're going to change. And so that means when I die to self that I'm not going to live for me. My life's not about me anymore. I know I've done wrong. I know I have sinned. And I know that I need a Savior. Because there is nothing that I can do to save myself. There is nothing I can do to make myself worthy of God. No amount of sin management or good behavior. I can't do it. I need God. And so I die to self. That's step one in baptism. Then you're immersed in water, or you're baptized. And this immersion is like your burial. Just like Christ was buried in the tomb, every part of you is covered, symbolizing not only that every part of you is given over to God, completely submerged, but also that every part of you is forgiven, washed, made new. Then, like Christ was raised from the dead, you are raised to new life in Christ. Clean slate, but a new life that's lived for Him. We don't in the Churches of Christ tradition, we don't use this phrase much, but I've heard it in other traditions, and it is beautiful when they baptize, and it's a play on Romans 6. They say, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. That's a nice little summary of what is happening when we are baptized. So, like Paul's saying in Romans chapter 6, when you did all that, you're not going to live with this mindset of like, well, thanks, Jesus, now I'm going to do whatever I want because you've given me license to sin. Saying, no, that's not what your baptism was for. That's not what that means. I do think it's important to point out, though, you will still sin. You will still mess up. But now that you've been baptized into Christ, you will live with a clear conscience towards God. That's language taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. I usually like to go to that verse, too, when we're really studying about baptism. That verse says, this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you. Also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think a lot of times we in the Church of Christ are like, well, baptism is what saves you. Well, Christ's sacrifice is what saves you. Baptism is what identifies you with that. So that's, you know, that's how you know you're saved. That is where salvation happens. But it's Christ Jesus' sacrifice that really saves you. And it isn't, and like I said, it's not about the removal of dirt from the body. It's not just about the water. It's about the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. I think that is a good way of thinking about it. You're still going to mess up. But you're going to do the best you can to please and honor God. You will live your life in a way that when you approach God, you can have a clear conscience. God, I messed up, I sinned, but I love you, and I've been trying. I'm doing the best I can. And I realize that the best I can isn't going to be perfect, and that's why I was baptized. And you can have a clear conscience when you approach God, one, because you're trying, two, because you know God loves you, and He continually forgives. Now, because the Scriptures tell us that baptism is where we receive salvation, where our sins are forgiven, where we enter into the kingdom of God, the church, because it says all those things, this is something we really want for our kids, right? This is something we really want for our friends and for our family. And like I listed a lot of things, salvation, sins are being forgiven, entrance into the church. If those are things you want to talk about more, there are scriptures for all those things. I'm not going to get to it here, but if that is something you want to talk about later, that invitation will be here. But so we want to encourage them, right? We want to encourage our loved ones to be baptized, but we don't want to pressure them. And that's kind of a hard balance. It's kind of a hard balance, right? We don't want them to do it just for us or just to please mom and dad. We want it to be their own decision. And so sometimes, and I've seen this a lot as a minister, and really in my own family experience, I've seen this. We get really worried seeing our kids get older and older and still not make that decision to be baptized into Christ. And it feels like too long, right? We start getting nervous. Like, are you gonna do it? What's holding you back here? Let's do this. And I understand the anxiety. But I also, on the other side of that, I want to encourage you to respect the wait. Respect the wait. There might be something good about them waiting. Maybe. Not necessarily, but there might be. Perhaps they are taking this decision very seriously. They're not taking it lightly. It's not just like, okay, yeah, whatever, I'll go do it. No, they're really, maybe they are giving it some serious thought, some serious time, thinking through what it really means. There's something to respect about them waiting. And then our imaginations might run wild, right? Do they just want to sin more? Do they want to go sow their wild oats? They want to get in trouble? What is it? That makes me uncomfortable, thinking that might be what's going on. On the other side of even that, maybe they are counting the cost. Maybe they are kind of figuring out what this really means. I've heard some people say, and I don't totally agree with this, but I get the mindset. Some people say, like, you really shouldn't be baptized until you've really faced some of the toughest temptation. I don't totally agree with that, but I do understand what they're getting at there, is that, you know, you might get baptized at 13 and then don't realize how tough it's going to be later in life. But even then, I still believe Christ Jesus forgives those sins. Maybe they even don't know if they believe all this stuff. And that's scary to think about too, isn't it? But that's worth a conversation. And it would be much better if they could talk to you about that than if they say they're struggling with that and you just shut them down. I think it's really important to be able to talk with your kids about the hard stuff, the stuff that they may not. Actually, there's studies that say they are more likely to have a longer lasting faith if they're willing to express doubts and concerns like that. Maybe you need to make space for that as well, as uncomfortable as it is. I think another reason, so just thinking through people, why do some people wait so long? Sometimes people think, there's a lot of misconceptions. Sometimes people think, well, I got to have it all together. I got to have it all. I got to quit sinning before I get baptized. And look, that's not the case. It's after your baptism that you can start moving in that direction with the help of the faith community and with the help of the Holy Spirit that now indwells within you. You don't got to wait to get everything right. Similarly, on that kind of the similar line of thinking, sometimes people think, and this is especially within the Churches of Christ since we focus on adult baptism, believers' baptism, is we think there's a lot of things we need to know. We need to know a lot before we get baptized, like every detail about the meaning of the cross and every detail about the meaning of baptism. And look, that's noble. That's great. I want to know all these things too. It is, and there's things you should know. But if it really comes down to it, I'm still learning and experiencing the full meaning of the resurrected life of Christ. I'm still learning and experiencing what it means to live sacrificially for God. It's a long process of learning and growing. You can't know it all before your baptism. I've had some kids when I was a youth minister who wanted, and some traditions will do this, they want, even a lot of Church of Christ people do this, they want this like big full study about baptism. I remember a few kids that, it was really great, you know, we met for 6 weeks, met once a week in the morning, got breakfast, and we went to the scriptures and we studied about baptism and communion and the cross of Christ and what that means and what life in Christ looks like and what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. And it was a great study. I loved it. It was a great time. And then one of the kids at the end of the study got baptized. And that was great. But full disclosure, I don't think that was all necessary. I mean, I want to do it. Those are conversations I want to have. But I would have been okay baptizing that kid at the beginning and then doing the study. And there's a reason I'm saying all this, because I think one question that comes up a lot is, what do I actually need to know to get baptized? What knowledge do I need to have? And youth ministers talk about this a lot. And they talk about it a lot at the end of church camp. Because it's at the end of church camp where a lot of us get baptized. I was actually baptized at the end of church camp. I came home. I wanted to do it with my home church family. But a lot of people do it then. And a lot of kids start talking. A lot of kids want to get rebaptized. And so there's been multiple conversations where I've sat around with other ministers and we've kind of talked about, especially in the light of rebaptism, which generally speaking, rebaptism shouldn't be a word. There's one baptism. But sometimes people worry if their baptism took, and that's a scary thought, right? What if, like, my baptism didn't count for some reason? And look, my general belief on that, and what other ministers will usually say, is that God loves you so much, and his grace is so deep, that if you had some wrong idea, or didn't understand some detail about your baptism, or you sinned really bad after your baptism, that his blood and his grace can even cover that. So usually I'm not that worried about if your baptism took. And generally speaking, I would say I don't think that's something you really need to be worried about. I don't believe that Christ Jesus came and lived this perfect life on earth and died and suffered for you just to be like, oh, you didn't have one idea right, that didn't count, sorry, enjoy your stay in hell. I don't believe God works that way, and I don't believe the scriptures show us a God that works that way. But what should you know? What should I know in order to get baptized? Well, the short answer is not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. You can look at the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, Acts 8, 26 through 40. Philip runs into this guy on the road. It's a pretty quick conversation. Maybe there's some details in there that we don't see, but ultimately, he baptizes this guy that day. Verse 36, the Ethiopian eunuch says, look, here's water. What can stand in my way of being baptized? And they do it right then and there. The gospel is what you need to know. What do I need to know to be baptized? The gospel. And what I mean is not every story about Jesus. You don't have to have all the books of the Bible memorized or know all the Old Testament prophets. But you need to have a basic understanding of the gospel, of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. And how that was for you because he loves you. Fundamentally, that's just about what you need to know, right? You probably need to know a little bit about what you are agreeing to also, right? You probably need to know a little bit about what you are getting into. Romans 6 really shows you that. You identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So you're recognizing, I have sin. That's probably one of the other things. So you need to know the gospel. You need to know you have sin. You need to know you can't save yourself and are in desperate need of forgiveness and grace. And then you need to understand that there is some level of commitment when you're baptized. You're committing to God, but you're also committing to his family. And one of the beautiful things about baptism, actually, I was looking through that picture I showed y'all in that little pamphlet, there's one version of it where it's a person being baptized, but there's no one baptizing them. It just shows the person by themselves in the water and then being dunked by themselves. And I was just thinking, that looks so weird. That's not how baptism works. You can't baptize yourself. You're being baptized into a community. There's someone discipling you. There's someone bringing you in. So I would be comfortable baptizing someone with that simple understanding. I'd be comfortable with that. Now, I don't know, we go a lot further than that. Normally, we give it a little more time. We usually, we talk about salvation, forgiveness of sins, entrance into the church. But I think there's a lot of things that happen at baptism, whether you know it or not. I think that's important. Generally speaking, if you know Christ died for you and you're ready to live your life for him, that's good and I'll do it. But we'll talk more. And so really what I want to do this morning, what I want to challenge you, like I said at communion, is talk about baptism with those unbaptized family members or friends. But start with, maybe tell your story. I've given you permission. I've given you permission to tell your story. So you're not just lecturing them. Okay, kids? Parents aren't just lecturing you. They're sharing yours. Because sometimes I think we tend to grill our kids rather than share our experience. And there can actually be something really helpful about sharing your own experience. So I want you to share that experience of who baptized you, where were you at, why, what made you decide to do that? And then the second part is, and then I think this is actually the most important part, a no-pressure conversation. No pressure to be baptized. After this conversation with your kid or your friend or loved one, don't do an altar call. Don't ask them to come forward. Okay, I think that would be great, but sometimes if you can relieve that pressure, then you can just have a real conversation. Because, and not all kids are like this, but I know my siblings were, and I've seen this a lot, is if they start feeling this pressure to be baptized, they start shutting down. Have you seen this? About a lot of things. Kids do that with almost anything. Some kids. You start pressuring them to do it, they want to do the opposite. They want to shut down. So a no-pressure conversation where it is just like, hey, here's my experience, and do you have any questions? What is keeping you from getting baptized? Not what's keeping you from getting baptized, but just a more like, hey, really, like, are there questions you have? Maybe there is a misunderstanding. Maybe there is a really good reason. Maybe you will hear something that will respect the wait a little bit. Maybe it will lead to more questions and more study. So I think I'm really, that's my prayer, is that you have a blessed conversation about your own baptismal experience and reasons, and that you can have a no-pressure conversation where kids or friends are free to ask questions, free to explore, and you can really learn and hear from them. I'm going to offer an invitation, and I'll say, like, I'm also willing to have that I'd love to have that conversation with y'all. Kids, if your parents just can't help but drop the hammer and pressure you, I'll have that conversation. Clay will have that conversation with you, and hopefully we can bring parents into that. But I would love to talk with you about any of this. I'd love to study with you. I'd love to fill in some of the blanks that weren't covered today. And so I'll say this. When I offer the invitation, you don't have to come forward right now. My number is in the bulletin. I'll be up here at the office this week. I would love to have these. I would love to meet with you. I'd love to talk with you more about this. I'd love to sit down if it's with your kids. Let's do that. That's such a sweet moment. I live for moments like that. So we can set up a time to talk more about this if that's what we need. But if you are ready now, and again, this is I think of this as a no-pressure sermon. This isn't one of those like, oh, we talked about baptism now, you kind of have to. That's not what I'm getting at. But if you are ready now, if you are ready to obey the gospel, or if you need any prayers from your community, we are here. The body of Christ wants to surround you and love you and celebrate with you. If you would like to give your life to Christ, we invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.